And with the election pending, we return to Political Perspectives here on WFSU-FM and also on 4FSU, because we are being doubly broadcast here, not only over the radio waves, but also over the TV medium as well. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in. And before we begin, a reminder that you're always invited to be a part of Perspectives via phone and email, local number 414-1234. If it's long distance from you to us, we pick up the tab 800-926-8809, the email perspectives@wfsu.org, and our Twitter account is at WFSU Perspective. Well, we are now embarked in the final couple of weeks before the November 4th big dance, the general election, and which will be determining things like the next Florida governor and also attorney general. And we have some other statewide races to look at, and we have a number of local contests as well. And today we're going to be focusing on one of the latter. This is Leon County Commission at-large group two that we're going to be focused on. The incumbent there for that is Nick Maddox. He's one of two at-large commissioners for Leon County. He was elected to the board in 2010, so he's just coming off his first term. And I'm giving you a little bit of background on him because Mr. Maddox won't be able to join us today. There was a particular tragedy in his life this past week, and we extend our most sincere condolences to him. He's now in North Carolina and should be returning to the Tallahassee area next week. Commissioner Maddox first moved to Tallahassee. He played for the Florida State Seminoles, and after fulfilling his role with the football team, which included capturing the 1999 national championship, he furthered his football career as a running back in the NFL, spending time in Cleveland and San Diego, finishing up his career in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. He was back in Leon County to finish his dual degrees in business and real estate, and after that he took a position as director of plan giving with the Seminole Boosters and went on to run for and get a stint on the Leon County Commission 4 years ago. And again, that is the incumbent in this particular race, fellow by the name of Nick Maddox. Joining us, though, live today is the challenger for that job, and his name is Curtis Baines, real estate broker, has bachelor's degree in accounting from Florida Atlantic University and a master's in public administration from FSU, has been with the Tallahassee chapter of the Institute of Internal Auditors, North Florida chapter of the American Society for Public Administration as well, former member of the J.R. Alfred Greenway's Management Advisory Committee, and he joins us live. Mr. Baines, it's good to see you.
Good morning. Nice seeing you again.
I got to ask you, first off, why run for this thing? What's your motivation?
Well, usually I get a couple of quick questions. Why do you run for this thing, and have you lost your mind? And they're usually so fast that I don't have a chance to answer one or the other. One of the things that I've been concerned about, a couple of things over the last few years. I thought I had retired from the state a few years ago, and so I've been kind of managing my own stuff and paying attention to my own business. But over the past year or so, we had a couple of issues, several issues actually, that have come up that no one seemed to be willing to take on, and no one seemed to be willing to question, and you know, no one was running for the office, and I thought these were some very important policy reasons to put to the public. And so part of my concern was I had been working on a sewer project for the Oak Ridge Lake Munson area in southern Leon County, which is one of the biggest projects I had been working on, and I was counting on support in the sales tax committee to extend that because of the environmentally critical nature of the primary springs protection zone. And that was eventually eliminated. And then last year we had substantial tax increases in terms of some of these ad valorem assessments, non-ad valorem tax assessments they've been making seemingly every year. And I thought, well, you know, we need to take a look at what we're doing here and try to get a better handle on this, and so I thought I would be able to make a difference in that regard, and chose to run for office.
Well, you've been one of the, I guess, advocates for leveling that revenue playing field, if you will, using property tax, ad valorem tax revenue, vis-a-vis kind of fee-for-service approach on this. How come?
Well, I guess when the Depression hit, that's the only thing I know to call it is a Depression. They call it, I think it's got a name called the Great Recession now. But when that hit, I had been one to urge not just the county but the city also to try to maintain the millage rates in an effort to try to control spending. And what they started focusing on instead was trying to add these non-ad valorem assessments. So we ended up with fire fees, increased stormwater fees. None of which are user fees, by the way. I think the only user fee we've really passed in the past 5 years is the fuel tax, which I supported simply because it's a user-based fee. I'm just paying taxes consumption. So that I was a little more comfortable with. I could justify in my own mind for a number of economic reasons. Some of the others were a little more difficult to resolve in my own mind. And then I guess, well, up until 2 years ago, I was a firm supporter of the sales tax. And then we started trying to – I say divert. I don't mean that in an illegal or questionable way. But, I mean, we started using more and more of the sales tax planning to – put money into non-infrastructure purposes, and it is a sales tax infrastructure. I mean, infrastructure sales tax. So, you know, it seemed to me that we're going to be paying longer for a infrastructure sales tax, and we're going to be getting less infrastructure out of it under the current plan. So I thought I wanted to reverse that as well.
All right. Now, we're also looking on the ballot, besides the one in which your name appears, we're also going to be looking at that extension of the penny sales tax there for Blueprint 2000, all that kind of – what are your thoughts on that?
Well, as I said, I was firmly behind the sales tax a couple of years ago because we only get a chance once every couple of decades to really have an impact on what we're going to do in this community. But after we started putting all this money aside for all these non-infrastructure purposes, I really started souring on the sales tax. At this point, I mean, I don't know of any organized opposition. We're at the point now where we say, well, let's just take whatever infrastructure we can get and pay the money for, you know, getting it passed. And that just seems to me we're spending too much of it for those purposes. And I wanted to be on the county commission to have a voice, a more direct voice in how we do spend that.
Yeah. What kind of things would you like to see, though, if you had your druthers?
Well, if I had my druthers, I would druther see an extension of the sewer. We've got throughout the Lake Munson, Oak Ridge area, which is essentially everything inside Capital Circle. I mean, we've got a whole urban area down there that grew up around rural-based wastewater treatment systems. I think that is probably more critical than any other particular item on there. We've also got we're building interchanges to nowhere that haven't even planned yet. So, I mean, it could be another 20 years before those things ever get planned, but we're setting aside sales tax money to do it when we could be trying to do something to improve the human condition today.
What do you do about the southernmost part of Leon County? It's also a problem for the folks down in Wakulla County, too, particularly in the Springs Basin right there, where you have a certain amount of state money. I think $15 million in state money is now going to go towards springs protection in the Wakulla Springs Basin, primarily for upgraded septic tank systems. But that's still going to be a whole bunch of money. Those systems cost between, what, $10,000 and $12,000 a throw?
Well, and this is what I guess 5 or 6 years ago when the county proposed a performance-based treatment systems inside the primary springs. They did two things. They designated the primary springs protection zone, which is basically everything south of Cody Scarb, and then they turned around and said, we're going to require performance-based treatment systems in these areas. And I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. Performance-based treatment systems are really nothing more than the on-site treatment systems we have now. It's a little more advanced water treatment, but there's still an expense involved. It's just as expensive as putting in sewer. So we're going to spend the next, based upon the EPA, the average life was about 30 years. So we're going to spend the next 20 years converting to a septic system that has a 30 or 40-year lifespan. And then in so 50 or 60 years from now, we're still going to be faced with the same issue. Why don't we just eliminate all that and go straight to central sewer in those areas where it makes sense? And most areas inside the inside Capital Circle, which is the Lake Munson, Oak Ridge area, there's sufficient density and population there. We're talking about 8,500 people. And the single largest unsewered urban service area in the county.
And there's sufficient revenue coming in to handle that?
Revenue in regard to what?
In regard to the county picking up at least a part of that, well, that tab for that expansion.
Well, if we use the sales tax extension, part of that money for that, yes, there would be. And when you get central sewer, you also pay a fee. So it tends to pay for itself. But what's really more expensive is getting the initial hookup and getting the initial lines in place. And you know, there, we in the inside Capital Circle, we've got a serpentine boundary for the city, and some streets have sewer and some don't. And in some cases, it's just a matter of extending the pipes a quarter of a mile, and then you've got all those properties in between that have access to sewer.
We're talking to Curtis Baines. He is running for Leon County Commission at Large, Group 2, the incumbent in that contest. Mr. Nick Maddox, who is in North Carolina on some pretty tragic business, and we hope to hear from him sometime next week when he returns to Leon County. 414-1234, the number to call for our political perspectives. If you have a question for Mr. Baines, you have an issue, a concern that you would like to bring to the table here as we take a look at our political perspectives here over the next couple weeks in advance of the November 4th election. And a program reminder, you are also watching this on television via 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4. And this program will be repeated a number of times between now and the election. Early voting gets underway Monday, October 20th. The absentee ballots have already been shipped out from Leon County Supervisor of Elections, Ion Sancho's office. So the election is underway. And we hope to hear from you right here on Political Perspectives. On WFSU-FM and 4FSU, we are Political Perspectives, and we're talking with Curtis Baines, who is the challenger in the Leon County Commission at-large Group 2 race. Going into the break, we were talking a little bit about the whole springs protection issue down there in the Wakulla Springs Basin, and Mr. Baines talking about the possibility of using a portion of the penny sales tax extension in Leon County to pay for septic, getting rid of the septic tanks and having sewer hook up for those folks. How much would that cost, do you think?
Well, it depends. There are two areas in the primary springs protection zone. The one we hear most frequently is Woodville. Until couple of years ago, I suppose, we never really heard of the Oak Ridge Lake Munson area, which is actually inside the urban services area. Woodville is not. Woodville is a rural community. And depending upon whether you do both of them or one of them, and whether or not you have an assistance program to facilitate connections, but you're probably looking around $35 million for the Lake Munson Oak Ridge area. That would provide around 3,500, get rid of about 3,500 septic tanks, and provide sewer for around 8,500 people, and advanced wastewater treatment for around 700,000, almost 700,000 gallons of wastewater per day.
Well, which ostensibly would have a pretty significant impact on the amount of leakage getting down into the aquifer and winding up in the springs.
It should. That, like I say, the Lake Munson Oak Ridge area is the largest single area, unsewered area. of those in the 2030 Master Water and Sewer Plan, and I think we can accomplish a substantial amount by devoting the resources to doing that now, rather than waiting another 20 or 30 years before we decide to do something, because those the average life of a septic tank is probably 20, 30 years. So we're going to be spending the next 20 or 30 years switching out all those existing septic tanks with something. Now the question is, do we want to switch them out with more septic tanks, or do we want to start converting them to central sewer?
Another long-term issue that is facing us now that some folks thought was, if not dead and gone, at least kind of on the back burner, is that whole growth management issue. We saw that with the great dispute over the convenience store at the corner of Crump and Miccosukee Road, where folks in that area out around the land co-op and in a very rural area objecting mightily to the possibility of having commercial development kind of in their little bailiwick there. That has forced the county commission to take another look at those areas. Where do you fall on that? We're going to grow, some folks say, inevitably. Other folks are going to say, no, let's put up more restrictions so we don't grow so fast.
Well, I don't think we're going to have a lot of say in how fast we grow. I think we can have some say in where we grow. And we have a lot of urban service area that could be developed, I believe, and I think we should preserve our rural areas to the maximum extent possible. Eventually, if we keep growing the next 30 years the way we have the last 30 years, no doubt we're going to be expanding, but I think much of that expansion can be confined to what we already have in terms of the urban service area.
All right. So in terms of developments like that, now the county commission has moved to be a little bit more restrictive and cut down the number of those places that could potentially be developed.
Well, we have a couple of things, actually. We have land that cannot be fully used now because we have, for example, in the Oak Ridge Lake Munson area, we have septic tanks instead of central sewer. There's additional development that's possible with central sewer without changing any of the zoning or any of that. Now, in some of these other areas where people are buying large tracts of rural areas and then trying to rezone them, I don't think that's really the way we ought to be going. I think we ought to be trying to direct the growth to the urban areas where we've already zoned for urban services area, and try to preserve our rural areas as long as possible.
Now, you've been a frequent contributor, let's put it that way, at county commission meetings when you have seen things that have kind of stuck in your craw and you wanted to bring to the commission, the current commission's attention, the fact that there might be another way here. Make a case, if you could, for essentially firing the incumbent Nick Maddox and hiring you into that position.
Well, I would think hope Nick, everything works out with Nick in North Carolina and all. I'd like Nick. He's a nice guy. He's always made time to talk with me. We just have a disagreement on how we ought to proceed on certain issues. These are the issues that I'm raising in this campaign. I have raised before. I've asked them to eliminate these surcharges on utilities. I've asked them to include the Oak Ridge Lake Munson area in their priority sewer, in their sewer priorities for the county. In fact, I wrote an article in a local newspaper a year or so ago about that very issue. So that's where I think I would move us forward a little bit more, because people are better aware of what I would like to do. Now, I realize I'm just one-seventh of the votes on the county commission, and sometimes that involves the intergovernmental committee, which is the intergovernmental agency, which is the city and the county, and you're even a smaller vote there, I suppose. But there's something about being at the table and contributing to that conversation that I think I can influence.
To a large degree, well, the city, which is pretty well taken care of now, we won't have to worry about those elections for another 4 years. But the county commission, to a degree, has also come under a little bit of critique as to being too in lockstep. We can remember maybe about, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, and I have the tape to prove it, at a county commission meeting where for a period of maybe about 10 minutes, you could hear nothing but people shrieking at each other. And it was entertaining, but not much was getting done. Now, some folks are saying that perhaps it's gone in the other direction, and it's kind of become a rubber stamp. One person gets up, one commissioner makes a proposal, everyone else goes, yay, 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 and votes for it, and off they go to the next thing. Do you see that?
I see a lot of unanimous votes on issues, but I see some dissension. You have to keep in mind that particularly with the at-large races, we're only going to elect a particular kind of person to the office. And the public is only going to focus on a particular kind of candidate for the office.
What kind?
I hope it's me. Well, but you have to appeal to a vast audience when you're running at large, for example. And that message has to appeal to the same mass audience in order to win the election. Districts, on the other hand, do have a little smaller. They represent a smaller group. They represent a more targeted group, a more sometimes homogenous group that can, you know, vote a particular way with a particular candidate. So they would have a specific interest, whereas when you get into all the other districts, they may have their own interests that may not be what that particular district wants.
So yeah, so you got to be
– it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit more conciliatory or able to form that consensus so that everyone at least has an opportunity to jump on board.
There may also be another explanation, and that is that we're just not really undertaking any controversial issues that require a great deal of public comment. We're tending to focus on those issues where we can get a unanimous consensus or unanimous agreement, and then leaving everything else to some other time.
Yeah, I can't recall the last time that the city of Tallahassee sued Leon County or vice versa, and that used to be a standard operating procedure. Every issue that came up usually engendered a lawsuit of some kind.
Right. Well, there's some reason. I mean, I was asked at one of the forums what I would do to try and reduce the tension between the city and the county. I didn't know that there was a lot of tension between the city and the county these days, but it's to be expected there's going to be a certain amount of conflict because you have a city which is densely populated, a small amount of land, large volume of municipal services, and you have a county which is lightly populated with most of the land area and very little municipal services. So those competing demands are going to conflict sometimes, and you can only expect them to do that.
Well, seeing where you come from on budgetary issues, Leon County just approved a new budget, the first increase, I believe, in several years, coming off of, as you call it, the depression.
Right.
So was that too much? Should they have held the line? Should they have even rolled it back? What do you think?
Well, we've all had to try to roll it back over the last 4 or 5 years. I think that the public is still hurting from this economic situation. I've said this before at city and county commission meetings. Real estate, which is what we rely on a lot for our economic growth, is kind of stagnant, and it's going to be probably for another year or so, a couple of years. And then I don't see it improving dramatically by the end of this decade, you know, the teens. And until we start seeing some movement in there, I don't think we're going to see a lot of improvement in our economic situation.
Curtis Baines running for Leon County Commission at Large Group 2. Our guest today on Perspectives, the incumbent Nick Maddox. Personal tragedy. He's up in North Carolina, and we extend our condolences to him. 414-1234 is the number to call for Political Perspectives on WFSU-FM. We're also being broadcast on a delayed basis through 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4. It's 800-926-8809. If it's long distance from you to us, or drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org is the number on that. To broaden that economic base, a portion, in fact, of the penny sales tax is also being designated for economic development activities. What can you do to attract more jobs, particularly the higher paying jobs to this area that everyone has just been hungering after for all these years?
So that's a good question. We've been trying to do that for a decade, and we're not having much success at it. From the sales tax perspective, I think we can make much more economic improvement by investing in our urban infrastructure, which is necessary to improve the quality of life for all of our citizens, protect our groundwater, and that sort of thing. So one of the things that is in the sales tax, they want to set aside certain millions of dollars for various programs, including training programs and what I call venture capital funds, where they actually underwrite some of the cost of capital to for some businesses to try to get them to relocate. We've had some success over the past. I say some success. We've only, over the past 30 or 40 years, we've only had a few of those that we were able to pull to Tallahassee for whatever reason. I don't know that putting a lot more money into a lot more funds is going to help us to do that. We don't have to look any further than the state to see what kind of success they've had in terms of economic development, these economic development programs.
Yeah, because right up the road from us, a literal stone's throw away is something called Innovation Park.
Right.
Now, that is under the county's an authority, and the current county commission chair, Kristen Dozier, is part of that, and they just had a reorg, and I think they're looking for some new talent there in the executive director. And so is that at least one part of this three or maybe even 12-legged stool that's needed?
I'm not sure. I've kind of lost track of what Innovation Park is supposed to be doing. I thought
Innovation – we have food trucks now. That's the important thing.
Right. And I thought that Innovation Park was supposed to be doing some of the very things that we're talking about doing with the sales tax, some of these sales tax funds that we're trying to set aside. So I was curious as to why Innovation Park isn't involved more in terms of – they were talking about providing space – office space for new businesses and startups and that sort of thing. Well, part of the issue, if I understand it correctly, is Innovation Park isn't located in the right place. It's too far from the urban core and central downtown, and so it's difficult to get back and forth between universities and the state and Innovation Park. I don't know how – I mean, I know it's pretty far out west, but I don't know if that's the only reason we're having issues out there. But I thought that was supposed to be one of the things Innovation Park was supposed to help us do, and I haven't seen anything that really – suggest that it has.
Well, ease of parking, I know, is a major component of this, and it is a little bit easier to find a place to park out here than perhaps it is right smack downtown. But, yeah, well, that is something certainly to keep an eye on from a number of angles to see how that develops. We'll have to get Commissioner Dozier in here to talk about that.
Yeah.
John joins us on the line here on Political Perspectives. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, real fine, thanks.
Oh, John.
I guess my question is are there any feasibility studies being done at this time to try to capture the energy that's flowing through our freshwater systems, pumps pushing waters down a 10-inch main, to use that for hydro generation of electric power to offset the cost of running the pumping stations?
Boy, that's a good one here. I bet that sounds like a City of Tallahassee Utilities issue perhaps on that. But
it would – I would refer you to the city of Tallahassee. I'm not aware of any, but there are a lot of things that they study years in advance before anyone even knows about it. So I would refer you to the city of Tallahassee for that.
Yeah, I think we have, what, a total of seven wells in within the confines of Tallahassee that are from where we derive our fresh water. But then, yes, there have to be pumping stations that keep that water pressurized in the lines and all that kind of thing. So
I'm not that familiar with the technical aspects of the process, and I'm not sure what the city is doing in terms of studying.
Yeah, Reeser David over at Utilities. We'll have to check in with them. That's a good question, John. We'll see if we can find out what the deal is on that.
So sorry we couldn't answer it for you.
Yeah. Anything for Mr. Baines as far as county governance is concerned that you want to throw in?
Well, the other would be with the waste treatment plant, which does that fall under county?
Well, that's city too, but the county certainly has an involvement on it because of the need to protect the Springs Basin leading down to Wakulla.
Well, here is an interesting point. Or maybe it's not so interesting, but every wastewater treatment facility in Leon County is in the Primary Springs Protection Zone, which is all south of the Cody Scarp, where no one has any sewer. So every toilet that flushes in Leon County ends up in the southern part of the county in one of the wastewater treatment plants.
So that's going to be another consideration, particularly since the city of Tallahassee's old spray field out there on Tram Road,
Right. They
got that squared away, which has really reduced the number of nutrients getting down
Correct.
Into the aquifer. But now it is that septic sewer or tank situation down there.
Well, that's the next issue to take on now that the advanced, and it'll take a couple more years for advanced wastewater treatment in the spray field to take full effect. So, I mean, none of this stuff happens overnight, and like we're talking about trying to convert from septic tank to sewer. I mean, we're talking about a 20 or 30 year program here. It'll still be in process when I've forgotten what sewer is.
It reminds me of the multi-laning of Capitol Circle. You know? Something's been going on here for maybe about the past 30 years or so. Political perspectives focused today on Leon County Commission at Large Group 2. Mr. Baines, the challenger in that race, is with us here at 414-1234. If you have a comment or a question, 800-926-8809 and perspectives at WFSU.org. We shall return. Vote. It is important because if you don't vote, someone else will vote for you, and they may not vote the way you'd like. November 4th is the big day. That is general election day here in the state of Florida, with so many races to be decided, from the governor's office down to the county commission level, and of course the soil and water conservation district. And that is a very big deal, as we've been intimating here with Mr. Curtis Baines, who is the challenger in the Leon County Commission at Large Group 2 contest. And talking a little bit about some of these other issues here beyond economic development and all that. Since you are in real estate, the need to increase property values, not just so that the state property or the county property taxes keep flowing in unabated, but for the overall economic health of the community. How important is that?
Well, I think it's very important. A lot of people have bought homes, making it their primary investment. So everything their principal asset is really their home. And when it loses its value, they've essentially lost most of their wealth. And to them, it's very important. For me, it was important to me too, but a lot of what I primarily involved with are my own rental properties, which I'd acquired when I was working with the state. And so I manage those, and that's my primary interest. But my rents determine what my value is. So from my perspective, it's a little bit different. Although if you're investing in a home, you're relying on that, you know, your home equity loan or your mortgage to pay college expenses or to help, you know, with your medical costs or whatever. So it's very important when your values, when the values of your homes go down or they don't increase, your money is essentially tied up until it does.
Well, when it comes to rental properties, are we overbuilding?
In some areas, I think we are. And when I say some areas, some areas of the market, I think we are. We've got I don't understand why. I don't have any student housing. I think I may have a student or two who's a tenant, but that's not my area. But not my target market. But a lot of what we've been doing is we as a community and CRA and all have been spending a lot of money to build a lot of student housing, and particularly Gaines Street, I guess, is the most recent example. I guess in Gaines Street and Madison, is that the Madison Street?
Oh, yeah, the Jefferson or College Town area.
Right,
yeah.
That College Town area. And we've been using a tremendous amount of public monies to finance those things. And in a market like that, I understand sometimes government is necessary to help finance things that wouldn't ordinarily be feasible. But you know, we're demanding with our zoning that we convert to mixed use, which involves commercial downtown and retail office space. Well, no one except the government is going to invest in that right now, and they probably shouldn't do it because we're overbuilt in that. And now we're spending a lot of money on of CRA funds to finance these student housing. Well, there's a lot of student housing landlords in Tallahassee. I don't know that we necessarily need to have the government involved in financing that.
So what does a county commission do in that case when they say, uh-oh, there is yet another, I don't know, 600-unit development out there on West Tennessee Street, and what does that do to the rents and the property values of folks who are already in the market?
Well, what they've been doing is raising taxes. every year we see a new fee go into effect or a higher older fee. The CRA, for example, I think the county has a couple of representatives there, but that's primarily a city activity, and so the input they have on that is fairly limited. And most of where the county is responsible for providing services, they really don't have that much input into it.
Input on the thing, okay.
Or that much interest in it, for that matter.
What else do you see as big issues facing Leon County in the next, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years?
Well, I think we talked briefly about the sales tax and how we're using some of that money. I'm concerned that we're using an infrastructure sales tax for a lot of non-infrastructure purposes. These funds for training and venture capitalism and trying to underwrite the cost of capital for businesses. And I'm also concerned about what is really a significant cost of utilities for a lot of county residents who are required to buy municipal utilities. They're paying surcharges on their electric and gas and water, and I would like to have that repealed. Now it's going to expire, I believe, in 2019, as a matter of fact, or about 2020, I think. So that's going to come up for discussion again, or is going to lapse. So certainly whoever is elected this time will have an opportunity and have some input on it, because I don't think they're going to wait till 2019 or 2020 to start negotiating that, if that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, and could that potentially become another flashpoint, though, between the city and county?
It's possible. I guess it was about 15 years ago is when they came up with this arrangement, and the city took over some of the utilities in areas that had previously been served by another utility provider in town, a nonprofit utility provider. And then once they had this agreement, the city then turned around and started charging surcharges on the utilities. I know, and I have a property where, you know, I add up my water, and then the surcharge is 50% of my water bill, and then right below the surcharge is a public service tax charged by the county, which is 10% of everything above that. So it's got, you saw, I'm getting a surcharge on top of the public utility tax on top of the surcharge and the cost of the utilities. And a lot of people, you know, I find that difficult. I mean, if you got a $50 bill and you're going to add another $25 on top of that or something, that adds up after a while.
Yeah, that can be a little bit problematic, yeah, particularly for folks on the lower income scale. Correct. Of this. I'm wondering, though, about, we talk about the city and county relationship going on. This has been brought up year after year after year on the city side when it comes to utility matters. And I think the last big push to maybe sell off the city of Tallahassee's your own utility system was maybe about 10, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. But do you think that would be an advantage of getting an investor-owned utility to take over the city? I mean, that's not a county issue, of course, but it's something upon which the county commission would probably have some kind of input.
Well, it is a county commission issue to the extent that a lot of county residents, those who live outside the city itself, are required to purchase utilities from the city. So what we've done is essentially turned the city utility department into a regional utility department, because now they're expanding beyond the city limits. That's as legitimate a public policy question as any I know. Should our utilities be provided by an investor-owned utility or a nonprofit utility or perhaps some kind of joint organization or agency, and it's similar to the intergovernmental agency? I mean, those are all legitimate policy questions that I'm not sure I can answer to this morning, but that's certainly something worth discussing again.
And it's something, since the city and the county already deal in things like the fire protection agreements and that sort of thing, there's still opportunities for collaboration in trying to figure some of these things out.
Yeah, sure. And let's not forget the, you know, what people want, what the eventual investors would also want in terms of customers, you know, what the utility customers themselves would prefer.
What do you think of our relationship with the I don't want to typify it as a love-hate relationship, because sometimes it's a little bit less intense than that on both sides of the scale. But with the state of Florida, we are the seat of state government and all of that. And sometimes there's a, shall we say, less than amenable relationship between Leon County and its largest employer and the folks who own the big white buildings downtown.
Yeah. Well, part of what this is a phenomena that's really been going on for, I don't know, 30 years perhaps, where we're starting to see – well, we've seen more and more of the cost of services pushed further and further along the continuum, so that the Fed started pushing costs to the states, and now, you know, the states have started pushing costs to the local governments. And more over the past decade, we've started seeing – the state start trying to push more and more cost over to county government. So, you know, county governments were never really set up to provide a lot of municipal services. They were set up to provide some form of government in an area that was lightly populated, that didn't require a lot of municipal services. So it's really not equipped in terms of taxing structure to deal with some of the issues that have been pushed onto them. And the same thing is true with the city. When you push all those costs onto the city and the county, there's going to be some level of attention between the pusher and the pushy, I suppose.
Yeah, they don't call the seat of county government the courthouse for nothing, because essentially that was what the county was to provide,
right,
the courts and the jail and,
right,
you know, law enforcement for the unincorporated area and all that kind of thing. So what do you think would change? Let's just say November 4th comes and goes, and it is Mr. Curtis Baines who is now on the Leon County Commission. What, looking at a 30,000-foot view, what changes?
Well, I think before the end of the year, I will be making a motion that we elevate the Oak Ridge, Lake Munson area to priority status on the sewer list of the county's sewer priorities. I may not have the votes for that because they took a look at that last year and wanted to wait till the sales tax committee finished their work before they took it up again. Well, they haven't taken it up again, so I will be happy to remind them and bring it up again. Now, I may not have the votes, but I will go out and talk to the community and try to get enough support to try and sway someone next year when I make that proposal again. I'm also going to look at the question about the surcharges on our utilities. I know that, and like I say, I'm not questioning the legality of them. There is plenty of law that says that's perfectly legal, but is it right? And it's not fair because many people in the county do not have municipal utilities, and they're not required to pay those surcharges. So we've got differential taxing situations for the county, and those that are paying those surcharges are paying for services for those who don't pay those surcharges. So I'm certainly going to take a look at that. So those are a couple of things that I can be able to raise immediately. Folks aren't going to have to wait 4 years for me to say something about it.
And they're going to be a real steep learning curve, huh?
Well, I hope not. I hope I can I do plan to take a vacation after the election.
So. Yeah, I have a feeling you won't be the only one. I don't know why I get that impression. I think we had Bill that was on hold here. If he wants to give us a call back at 414-1234, he wanted to. I think his question was on the subject of intangible assets, and I just did not see his listing up there on the screen. I am very, very sorry about that, Bill. So if you have a chance to call back into Political Perspectives at 414-1234, we'll get you right on here to Mr. Baines. Let's see. Bill wanted to Okay, yeah, but he wanted to talk about Leon County's harvesting its intangible assets. I'm not sure exactly what he meant about that, but it may be that – let's see. What's an example of an intangible asset, Mr. Bain?
Well, an intangible asset might be stocks or bonds, or that's what I kind of think of that. I don't know how you would what he's thinking in terms of harvesting them, but those are the kinds of things that I think of, and maybe if he calls back, we'll get a little better idea of what he would like to know about.
I think that would be a wonderful idea. And one other thing I was really interested in thinking about were some of those other county services that we have adopted. For example, we have an award-winning library system.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, continue that as is, improve, maybe blow off some of those assets. What do you think?
Well, I'm a firm believer in libraries, but the nature of the exchange of information is changing dramatically with the advent of the internet. Now, I don't think we should be doing away with libraries. I don't know how many more we should be building at this time, but you know, the libraries provide not just a source of material for reading and researching, but also a source of community activity and meetings. And so, I mean, there's a lot of things that a library serves and does. I mean, I've attended more meetings at the library in the past month than I ever had before.
Yeah, it's great for politics. Let's see if we can get to Ann here. I think she was first up here in line, too. Hi, Ann. Welcome to Perspectives.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry I've pinned in very late. I don't know if this has been discussed before, but I used to use the landfill off Appalachia, and it was free. And I've been away for a couple of years, and I last week went by to drop off a bag of garbage, and they charge $2 for one bag of garbage, and I was just shocked and outraged.
That is a great question. Well, as I understand, our landfill is no longer at the landfill. It is out yonder to the west of us right now, and we use our landfill really for the recovery of things like electronics and other kinds of recyclables, I think.
Well, they do have recycling out there, but they also have a drop-off station, they used to, but – and I was in the same situation. I went over there one day and to drop off my garbage, which I've been doing for 20 years, and they wanted a credit card for me to drop off my garbage. And I said, well, I got $2. I'll drop it off, and I won't use this anymore. But, you know, they wanted me to charge it. That's one of the things they did last year, one of those additional fees they started collecting. would be curious to see what's happening in terms of trash around the county now that people, you know, don't feel interested in paying the $2 to drop off a bag of trash, where all that is going.
Yeah, does that happen to the transfer stations? You go out on Gum Road and, you know, there's a place to swipe your credit card?
I don't know if they have a credit card, but I think they have some kind of the fee involved now that you have to pay for that.
Okay, let's quickly see if we can get in Judy here on line one. Hi, Judy. Welcome.
Hi. I have my own water and sewer. I live south of Woodville, but I'm a Leon County resident. And I don't want the city to impose their own water and sewer on me. I already have it. I don't want to pay for extra stuff.
Okay, let's get Mr. Bain's input on that. Thanks, Judy.
Who provides water and sewer?
It's here on my property.
No, I understand that. Do you have a septic tank or sewer?
Right, I have a septic tank.
Oh, okay, right. Well, so you live in the Woodville area?
Right.
See, that's – and I was talking about the Woodville area earlier, that's a rural community. It's not in the urban service area. What I was talking about earlier is all in the urban service area. It's all inside Capital Circle. Woodville and I know that one of the commissioners has pushed Woodville, and I think it's on the sales tax list. But it does raise some issues about what people should be doing then.
And wish we could do more. Mr. Baines, thank you so much for coming on Perspectives. Our thanks also to the WFSU-TV crew, Suzanne Smith, Paul Dam, Adrian Applegate, Jason Remsemer, and Mike Dunn. I'm Tom Flanagan. Join us next week. More Political Perspectives on WFSU.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.